Hi, my name is Emily Hinckley, and I attended Sanborn Regional High School in Kingston, New Hampshire. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up through our varsity basketball program when Adam Bradley paid us a visit during my junior and senior years. Lead 'Em Up allowed me to change my mindset and become a better leader on the court, in the classroom, and in the real world through all of the games and team-building exercises that Adam taught us during our sessions. I was also given the opportunity to start a green team club at my school, which allowed me to become more green myself, while also educating my peers on how to make the Sanborn community more positive and more green. I currently am a freshman at Husson University in Bangor, Maine, and I still use the lessons that the Lead 'Em Up program taught me to succeed and to always stay in the green.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for joining us today. You know, this topic, I tweeted this out about this subject that we're going to discuss here and got a tremendous amount of traction on Twitter. And it reminded me how important this conversation is with our teams and as coaches, how we need to be discussing and addressing it. And it's this topic of, can I lose with you? You know, the reality is when we look at our players and we look at our teams, winning is easy. Not in the sense of actually accomplishing winning. That's a challenge, of course. But winning is easy in the sense that we are pretty certain that when we start winning, we're going to get buy-in, that we're going to get individuals showing up special, working hard, being excited about the program. When we talk about building culture, if the wins are there, it's pretty easy. We think everything else should fall in line. And historically, that's what happens. Right. Unless you find yourself in a situation that Pat Riley famously coined, where he talked about the disease of more or the disease of me, that when you begin winning and the spotlight gets brighter, that it builds this selfishness and, you know, increase in the players to want more of the share of the spotlight. Right. And he calls it that disease of more, the disease of me. Unless that's the situation, which is rare in many cases, winning tends to produce the buy-in, the commitment, the excitement that we desperately want from our players. But unfortunately, we can't guarantee the wins. We can't guarantee that we're going to have the success. And unless you're the 72 Dolphins and maybe a few other teams, like, we're not going undefeated. There's going to be losses. There's probably going to be patches of moments during the season where we have a losing streak, one, two, three games. We need to understand and ask ourselves the question, can I lose with you? And it's a question we need to ask our players. Can I lose with you? Yes, when all things are good, it'll probably be good and you'll probably be good, player. But if things start to kind of get disrupted, if challenges get presented, what am I going to get from you then? Can I lose with you? And joining me today, I'm excited, Coach Nathan Emmerich, Carterville High School, Carterville, Illinois. You and I have kind of built a friendship over the last couple, you know, especially the last year or so. You're utilizing the Lead 'Em Up program in the classroom there at Carterville, and you do a great job with your team. You've coached the volleyball program there for the last 2 years, but you've been coaching for the last 13 years. You've got tremendous experience. 8 or 9 years or so really focused on the volleyball. And it was interesting, Coach, when I tweeted this out, like, it was one of those tweets that just hit you at the right time. I could sense, right? Because you kind of captured it, you retweeted it, you shared it on your Instagram, and like we talked about it. And it was just kind of like resonating with you. Coach, like, what resonated with you when you saw that tweet where I simply just said, okay, it's cool. I'm pretty certain I can win with you. But the real question, player, can I lose with you? That's the test.
Yeah. First off, thanks for having me, Adam. It's been awesome to incorporate some of your Lead 'Em Up stuff into our classroom, and something I'm definitely looking into doing with our team as well. I think the big thing was, is because it was a conversation we've had a lot of. We were in the midst of a really great year. But it was one of those things where I never felt like we could beat the best teams we were going to play, especially in our conference. And we knew that those were teams we were going to see in our postseason. And it always felt like we would get close, but we could never finish, right? It was, we were great when we were winning, but as soon as we got behind in a game, it was over. And you could just see it on us. You could see it, whether it was in our summer tournaments when we were kind of just trying to figure out who we were, through the first really three quarters of our season, that anytime we got down against a good team, the wheels just fell off. And that was a comment I made a ton, was you guys, like, we as a team, we are great winners, but we are terrible losers. And not just in a sense of we lost all the time. It was just of when we got to a point of losing, it just fell apart. Whether it was people trying to do too much, we lost trust in our teammates and got out of position and undisciplined, or we just kind of stopped playing a little bit. And that was a conversation we had a ton of, like, why is this happening? Like, why can we not, we're a great team. Why can we not beat teams that we would say on paper we're better than, that we match up with, that we could have success against? And it kind of just came down to a point of, I think a couple things happened that we'll kind of get into, but they eventually just had to kind of finally get to a point where they could make the choice that this is not the team we want to be, and this is the team we're going to be.
You know, it's interesting. I like what you said. You know, we're great losers or winners, but terrible losers. And that's not, you're not even just referring to the end result of the game.
Yeah.
You're talking about the little moments of maybe like losing a set or losing a play. Right. So like you're actually looking at it even more of a granular level, like the little wins and losses throughout the process. Right.
Yeah, for sure. Whether it was in practice when we were when we would play against like our second team, and to do that, we would kind of stack the game a little bit to make it harder on our varsity. Because if you go straight up with your second team, your varsity should win every time. So we would stack the games a little bit. And as soon as they got down, it was just like, whatever, move on to the next drill. Let's move on to that. You know, this one's over. And you never saw that, like
that fight. That
fight in them, right? Like it was kind of just, it was easier in the moment to kind of just give up and move on to the next thing than it was to expend the energy and really grind it out, knowing that you still might not win.
Mm. You know, I wonder if there's a stigma in many coaches' minds that you can't talk about this subject of losing, right? Because we want to talk about winning. So much of our conversation is centered around what is it going to take to win? What do we need to do to win? I wonder if there's coaches, when we talk about this subject of having conversations with our players about what it looks like to lose and how to respond to losing, do you get the sense that some coaches around the country may say, like, I can't talk about that. Like, I don't want to like put this emphasis on losing. Like if I talk about how are we going to lose, it's almost like I'm telling the players I'm expecting them to lose. Like it almost feels uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah. I think so. You know what really kind of even, I don't know if it's a stigma of not wanting to talk about it or if it's more of a thought of just like, we've got to talk about winning so much. We just don't have time to talk about it. And I think one of the things that kind of flipped for me is I was reading an article by Nate Sanderson, him and JP Nurbin have a podcast and a newsletter that they do. And he was talking about some things that he was doing with his team, just from a visualization standpoint and a conversation standpoint of they're getting ready to play a big team later in the week. And they wanted to kind of set some expectations and talk about what should we expect from this game? What should we expect to feel when we walk in the gym? What should we expect to feel if we get down by 10 early? And it just kind of resonated with me of like, yeah, like, man, that's huge for them to already go in and not have any surprises when they walk in, that they know if they're not playing well, these are the feelings and the emotions that they're going to feel. And they're already going to start to be prepared on how to fight against those things. And that was actually something we started to do as we got into the postseason of trying to get them to visualize and anticipate what are they going to feel as they walk in the gym, as they're in the locker room changing, as they're warming up, as the starting lineups happen, as the first play happens, all the way down to what if we're down 10, how are we going to respond? Mm-hmm. What's the perfect response from each of you if we're down 10 and we've got to fight for our season? And I think some of that really resonated with our kids. And when we got in some of those moments in the postseason, it wasn't a shock. It wasn't like panic mode had set in because they already knew what to expect. And I think that was a big thing for us.
That's a powerful exercise. I really love that, Nate, you know, because I don't think, especially in sport, if you take an average high school athlete, even a college athlete, right? A teenage, 18, 19, I mean, this time frame of their life, a loss or a significant setback in sport is a pretty big deal in their world, right? Like, if like, you know, I'm thinking about, let's say you're a baseball player and you're a center fielder and a fly ball goes out to you and you miss it. You misjudge it and you create an error and it causes two runs to go in and the rest of the team's looking at you. That's a pretty big loss in that moment for a 16, 17 year old, like, to have 12 other people looking at you, to feel the weight of this moment of what you just did. Like, that's a big, big deal. And without a conversation or even an exercise like you just referenced, I don't think that young person, in fact, I almost know, they don't know what to do there.
No.
They just go, their reaction is, I'm just going to go all the way down into the dumps, right? I am done, right? I'm going to sulk. It's going to be over. And what you just mentioned is really preparing them and getting them to be to begin mentally strengthening themselves and from a preparation standpoint for when that happens, because it will happen, right?
Yeah. So I read that article right before kind of our postseason started, and I thought, you know what, we're going to try it, right? We're going to try it. We had a practice on a Monday that we didn't have school, and so the school's empty. No, you don't have to worry about distraction. So at the end of practice, we kind of circled them up and we did the whole, we're going to shut the lights off. We're going to lay down. We're going to visualize, you know, and I'm kind of talking them through this, like what to visualize and what to think about. And I thought it went okay, you know, kind of like, meh, it went okay. And again, when you're dealing with high school kids or you're dealing with any players, like, you're going to have some that are going to fully buy in and some that are going to be like, meh, that was kind of weird, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was one of those where we played the next day and we won, and we had practice on Wednesday preparing for a regional championship. And I had kind of scripted out what we were going to do with that. But I kind of had that thought of like, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, I kind of got to that point of like, depending on where we are in practice, like, I knew it could be good, but I didn't know if it was like super important. You know, like one of those, like, you had to do type things yet. And we were kind of that close of like, I tried to do a really good job of, if I say we're going to be done at this time, we're going to be done at this time. I don't want to go over a ton. That's hard on parents. It's not fair to kids. That's not fair to my family if I'm spending 30, 40, 50 minutes extra. So, but I remember I was like, all right, guys, let's get it cleaned up. And I had like four or five and say, hey, are we going to do that visualization thing again today? That was really good. Like, we need to do that again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And we won on Friday, came in on Saturday to practice. And it was like, hey, are we going to do that again? Yeah, let's do it. And it just, every time it was like, you could see that, like, that buy-in. And I don't know if it was kind of a superstition thing of like, we just have to do it, 'cause you know what I mean? We played well, so let's do it again. Yeah. Or if it was legit, like, no, this was really, really good. And, I think it was one of those where when we're playing in the regional championship game, it's the third set. We're playing a team that we had split within the year. And it's a third set, and we are down, playing to 25. We're down 18-15. And I remember looking out on the floor, and there's a huge crowd. We're playing at home. And I remember looking out, we're 7 points away from losing, our season being over, and there was zero panic on our faces. It was just like, here we were ready to go. And that was a cool moment. But we get into the sectional final, and this is like the Sweet 16 for us. and we're playing a team that is a huge rival, conference rival of us. We lose the first set closely, like 25, 21, 22, something like that. And in the second set, we just come out, and next thing you know, we're down 16-6. I burned two timeouts in the first like 9 minutes or 9 points. So I'm done. I can't stop the game anymore. And at 16-6, I remember thinking, at some point here soon, I've got a couple seniors I've got to get in. I'm going to wait till they get to 20. But I looked at our team, and it was just like, we're going to chip away. And next thing you know, it's 17-11. And then the next thing you know, it's 18-17. And they've burned both their timeouts. And it was one of those where we didn't panic. We just grinded out every single point. And 3 weeks earlier, that never would have happened.
Yeah.
We never would have got that point of it. We would have got beat 25-10 and our season would have been over and you'd have called it good.
You know, it reminds me of a quote that TJ Rosim, old co-host on the Hardwood Hustle, would always talk about. Anything you want to see exist in your program has to be developed. And if you want to see a team that is strong, that can overcome adversity when things aren't going well, you've got to develop that. And that's what it sounds like happened here, right? Like, you develop this mindset, this approach, this belief through this exercise to get them to respond to losing in a really, really powerful way. And, you know, one thing I'll mention earlier, you talked about the player asking if they could do more of this visualization. I really believe athletes want to do more and they enjoy doing things that they feel are getting them better, that they feel it, like they want to do more. And I experienced that with Lead 'Em Up. You know, when we go and we work with our teams, like they see and they can feel that we're getting better and growing through this. Yeah. And it's engaging them to the point where they say, Hey, we doing Lead 'Em Up this week. Right. That type of thing. Absolutely. You know, when I think about this theme of, can I lose with you? An additional reason we need to be having this conversation with our players and talking through losing and our response to losing with them, because you know, we are all guided in many ways by the influence of higher levels. When I say higher levels, collegiate sports, professional sports, it's what's on TV. It's what these kids follow. And when we look at professional sports about this topic, I actually believe the large majority of athletes and coaches, they do an incredible job responding from losing. I mean, look across the board. You constantly hear stories of teams bouncing back or, you know, having a 2-game losing streak and then coming back and getting a big win, right, where they don't give up. And they just, I mean, you see it all over the place. But unfortunately, the stories that dominate the lion's share of attention on social, on the talking networks, the real influencers in our kids' minds are the stories of losing streak begins, players disgruntled, dissension and tension in the locker room. So-and-so doesn't like this person. This person's looking for a trade. Okay. They like what we see and what our players see so often is the negative side of responding to losing, the falling apart, the selfishness. I'm not getting the looks. I'm not being treated right. And I believe that's played a huge role in them. When things start going bad, they're like, well, I'm out, right? Like, I'm, you know, screw this, right? They begin to kind of go to that realm because I think that's what they see so often. So,
oh, yeah, especially even in college with like the transfer rule now. Like, you see guys transferring all over the place every year. You know, you'll see guys who have played it on 3 or 4 different college teams just because, you know, yeah. I think trying to be a coach that can bring some stability in those moments. You know, I think, like you said, one of the incredible things you see with like college and professional sports is the majority of those guys have such great perspective on the true impact of this loss or that loss or this losing streak of we have, you know, if you're looking at Major League Baseball, right? They play 162 games a year, and you guys got fans and media freaking out over a 3-game losing streak when those players and managers, they get it. Like, yeah, they don't want to lose, but 3 games over 162 is not a huge deal that can't be made up as the year goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And once again, a lot of that stuff just isn't spotlighted, you know, and that's why, like, when we teach our players how to lose, you know, we use so much of the green team reference in our program, right? The green, grays, and reds, and this whole breakdown that we do with our players. And you can even use that same breakdown of green, which is, you know, where we want to be. The gray kind of is that gray area in the middle there. And then the red is certainly what we want to avoid, you know, and our players go through the whole foundation of learning that, but it even connects to losing. And when I connect it to losing, coach, here's how we lay it out. All right. When losing takes place or losing persists, reds, the area we don't want to be, they divide. They divide, right? They become divisive, right? Whether that's intentionally with their teammates or even just them, like they start separating from the group. They begin kind of sulking, right? They begin getting down. They aren't as kind of encouraging and unifying from a team perspective, right? They're the opposite. They start think and even think about pro sports. Think about some of these players that you'd maybe say, yeah, they're tough to lose with, right? Things start going bad. They start talking in the media, right? They start kind of throwing people under the bus. They start talking about, I need a trade, things of that nature. Red, when we lose reds, that player, they divide. Yeah. The gray player is apathetic to it. They just don't care enough one way or the other. And it's almost a scary place to be because, you know, the emotion, the buy-in, you know, it's not there in those players right now. Granted, you're fortunate to some degree that they just aren't going to divide the team, right? But like, you know, they're not necessarily going to respond to the losing the way we need to respond to the losing, right? And that moves us to the green area. And then when we tell our players, this is the area where we need to live and operate in order to reach our full potential from a losing perspective, greens commit. They commit, right? Well, all right, we just experienced 2 losses in a row. I'm not going to divide. I'm not going to pull back. I'm not just going to stay neutral and just kind of whatever, right? No. I'm going to respond to losing by committing. Yeah. Committing what, you may say? I'm going to commit more to my team. I'm going to be committing more to the process. I'm going to be committing more and to giving more. I think about Tom Brady recently. He loses in DC where I'm at, right? Just about 2 weeks ago at the time of this recording, right? Bad loss. You know, he talked about this commitment, right? In the press conference, man, we got to get back to work, right? Like we've got to get better. We've got to lean in more. We've got to do extra. Like it was a commitment. You could almost get the sense, and I follow Tom Brady pretty closely because I really enjoy him. And, you know, kind of going through the week there, as I paid attention to him, you almost see this quieting of like that team just wasn't talking that much, right? Like they weren't out there that much that week. It was like, we just lost. It is time for us to buckle down and commit more than ever to what we're doing, to each other, all those things. That is how you respond to losing, by committing in the face of it.
Yeah. And, you know, I kind of have the ability to kind of relate to that from this year. You know, it's late in our year. It's basically the week before. And we had some adversity that happened on our team. And it was one of those things that easily could have just wrecked your year. And from the coach, I'm sitting there trying to think about, is this going to wreck our year? How do I handle this? How are our players even going to respond to this? And, you know, that was one of the things when you asked me to be on this podcast, I asked our starters, like, what changed, right? And I would say probably half of them mentioned that adversity is what kind of flipped this from just being okay with how the year was going and being content with, I don't want this year to end. It was almost like this rallying point that our kids just rallied around each other. And it kind of flipped the switch of we're now not playing for ourselves. It gave us this kind of this one commitment to like really be outward focused for each other, to give more to each other, to play harder for each other, and to really honestly trust each other even more than what we did before. And you know, it's kind of one of those things that adversity is either going to wreck your team or it's going to like rally your team. And I think it got to a point where it rallied our team so much where it finally clicked for them what it was like and what it really felt like to play every point as hard as they possibly could for each other and not for themselves. And I think that totally just bought into that idea of how do we respond when we're losing? And I think in those moments in the postseason when we were losing, they were able to kind of reflect on that a little bit and realize this isn't about me, right? My response right now in this moment to this, you know, to this losing moment in this set, it's not just about me. Right. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the other five girls on the floor right now, they're not going to lose. I'm going to do my part to make sure that they don't have to experience loss right now, because I care more about them now than I honestly I realize I care more about them now than maybe I did 2 weeks ago because of what we had to go through.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. The author, Dr. Henry Cloud, has a quote, and it says, "In the end, as a leader, you are always going to get the combination of two things, what you create and what you allow. It's creating the environment that we want through vision, mission, strategy, communication, and even training. But simultaneously, it's about addressing the things, the behaviors, and the actions that do not align with those things. Great leaders don't make exceptions, they don't look the other way, and they don't shy away from accountability. Because what we allow is what we will continue to get, and what we accept becomes the standard. So we need to create what we want and be very careful with what we allow." Now let's jump back into the episode.
That's a powerful story, man. And, you know, I think there's a process of growth for coaches around this subject. Right. I think most coaches, you know, this may for some be the first time you're really being challenged with this thought of addressing losing, and not just addressing losing, but teaching losing. OK, because once again, it's so counterintuitive. And I say that it's a process because, you know, I'll self-reflect here for a moment. It's been a process even for me. Right. I think about over the years of building out this Lead 'Em Up curriculum, and when I'm building out the Lead 'Em Up curriculum with our team, I'm doing it through the role and the lens of being with teams, right? I'm doing it simultaneously as I work with teams. It's a dual process. Work with teams, build a curriculum. It's all happening. I'm experimenting, doing all that stuff with the teams, with the players. And coach, one thing that's interesting, you know, because you're going through the program at the classroom right now, we added an exercise this year called your 40 red dash, okay? Your run from red. That wasn't one that we had early on. And it essentially speaks to this topic. So for those that aren't familiar, at just high level, right? We teach this green team, as I alluded to earlier, right? We spend a lot of time around being green, what it looks like to be green. The players define what it means to be green. We've got awards around being green, like Verified and MVG and Green 13, all this stuff, right? You could almost say green is the winning. Just like team. So much talk about winning. We got MVP trophies. We got championship trophies. Think about all the awards around winning. We did the same thing around green because that's what we view as winning within the team. But it actually got presented back to us shortly after we rolled out the green team. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago, where we began to hear from teams and experience that, you know what? We're not robots. We can't guarantee that we're going to be green every day. Yeah. That's not always what happens. Sometimes we may show up red because red's a real emotion, right? We will have times of struggle and frustration and annoyances and discouragement. Like, those are real emotions that we kind of classify under this red umbrella there, that players began to kind of feel like, well, what do I do when I feel that? Because all we talk about is green. So what do we do there? Yeah. And one of, and that's what prompted us to lean into this conversation. Okay, what is our relationship with red? And, you know, we ended up kind of landing on this place that, like, yeah, red is a real emotion, but, like, the real trick is, like, how fast can we run from it? Okay. Yeah. We don't want to live there. We want to run from it. So we use this phrase, like, run from red 40 time. How fast can you get back into this place where we need to be? And it is essentially the conversation of winning and losing. We spent all this time talking about winning green that we were almost ignoring the losing, which was red. And it has transformed the conversations with our players when we spend this time talking about, yes, there will be moments, there will be instances in games, around games and practices, et cetera, where you feel red, right? When you feel those moments of challenge, frustration, let's take some time and talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's go through that process and let's start training ourselves to improve our 40 time, quote unquote, on how fast we can run from it. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. So at Carterville, we're doing the classroom part of it. So the freshmen that I have on my team, most of them have went through the curriculum. There's probably one or two that haven't because they'll have it second semester. But it's interesting because you can see this once you're familiar with the curriculum, you can see whether you, with your teams have talked about this or not, you can recognize moments when this has happened, when it hasn't happened, right? I can remember a conference game this year that was super heated. And I got into this, like, had one of those red moments, right? And I, looking back, didn't do a good enough job of getting away from red into green fast enough to where it probably cost us the game, looking back. But then I can also remember a time, I talk about our postseason a lot because it was just a special time for us, where in the regional championship, our best player kind of has one of those red moments. We're in that, in the midst of being down in the third set, and it kind of, where you're starting to kind of get that sense in the crowd of, like, we're kind of losing it a little bit. And she makes a play, kind of feels like the official missed a call, and she questions the official and gets a yellow card, right? And it's loud, and I'm trying to get her attention, and I finally get her attention, get her to make eye contact with me, get her kind of calmed down a little bit, and she goes out next play, makes a great play, and kind of starts this momentum going. And it was in that moment where I felt like she was able to, even though she wouldn't have known the terminology, she was able to run from red quickly to get back to green to be able to make a play and help us. Mm. And some of that, I think, was because also I was able as a coach to not get so wrapped up into maybe the missed call or non-missed call, but I was able to get focus in on getting her back to green as quickly as possible. And I think sometimes as coaches, that's our job, is not always to just fight for our team in the moment because an official missed a call, but our job is to get our kids refocused as fast as possible to where they're going back to green, right? Because if I lose my mind in that moment and I also have this big explosive red moment, then what's my team most likely going to do? They're going to be there with me. And I think for us, I think I grew as the year went on how to respond in those moments, because I knew my team, and I knew that when I got animated or when I got explosive, if you will, they followed that. And it cost us points for, you know, 4, 5, 6 points before we were able to, like, settle back in. And I think me being able to respond rightly in those moments helped them respond rightly in those moments.
Yeah. You know, we always say Reds are great recruiters.
Yes.
You know, rule five of the Greens team. And you're, you know, we say they don't go around and say, hey, come join my side, but their behavior influences others to get down there. And that's kind of what you just alluded to, right? Your behavior in those moments actually had an influence to potentially bring others down. And it just, you know, the fact that you acknowledged it, I shout out you and celebrate you. Like, you acknowledge, like, you know, I was doing the opposite of what I wanted my players to do, right? I want my players to bounce back and get to this healthier place, but I was potentially causing them to get further down, right? And you recognize that, you know, as we wrap up here, you know, one of the things I think about when we have this conversation, it really opens the door to increase the vulnerability within our players when we begin talking about the failures we may face. When we begin talking about the potential losses, the potential errors, the mishaps, the things of that nature that will come about, when we begin to have this conversation, it creates this vulnerability and authenticity within the team. You know, because one of the things when we, you know, that came to light for me about this conversation of losing and winning and the red and green, how we verbalize it, players began to feel that they couldn't be real. Like, they could only be one way. That, like, they weren't allowed to demonstrate or show this. And I think that's part of the reason why when players lose or they have bad losses in the moment, they go down so deep because they want to communicate a message out to everybody that they don't accept that. They're not that that's unacceptable. That, you know, I sometimes think, you know, the reactions of losing and how it gets dramatized amongst our players, like it becomes a big dramatic thing, right? Like throwing things or just the super pouting. They're just simply trying to tell everybody that they're not okay with it, that they really care, right? And that's their way of just really showing it. When the reality is, like, let's talk about it up front, right? We don't need that show. We know this is going to happen. This is part of the process. Okay, we don't need that flair. We get it, right? This isn't what we want, but we're going to talk about it in advance. We're going to be open and honest and have these conversations, and we're going to prepare for these moments. So when they come, we know the standard and expectation as it relates to how we should respond. And I'll tell you, most people don't put standards and expectations and attach them to the losing within their team. Very rarely, if ever, have I heard coaches actually lay out standards and expectations on how to respond to losing. It's typically not a conversation where it's a formal, intentional, you know, obviously you'll hear generalizing theories, you know, end of practice, we've got to bounce back, things like that. But in a detailed framework, all right, when we lose, what's our response, right? What are we going to do? Do we point fingers? How are we going to respond? What's the next step? How are we going to feel? I hope that this episode kind of encouraged you to lean into the conversation of helping our players learn how to lose, because it's going to happen. And I believe our teams won't be able to experience the success and reach the potential they can have unless our players know how to do it well and how to respond well. Coach, anything you want to add as we wrap up?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because we talk a lot as coaches, and you hear coaches talk about, like, accountability. We want our players to be accountable, right, for their actions and everything like that. But if we've never talked about it and we've never explained to them what the expectation is and they don't know, then how can we expect to hold them accountable to stuff that they don't know, right? So then it's too late, right? When if we've never talked about, like, how do we handle losing, right? In the big picture, small picture, you know, big game practice, you know, you're the one not having success. If we've never talked about that and laid out what that should look like, then I think it's really hard for us as coaches to be able to hold them accountable to that in the moment, right? But if we've had those conversations and we as a team have discussed, this is what it needs to look like, and this is how I as the head coach and our assistant coaches are going to do that, and this is the kind of the expectation for players and how we're going to be on the same page. Now, when kids don't do that right, now you have a starting point that they have a framework for that of yeah, I get it. Yeah, I got to do a better job of that. Yeah. Right. And you're being, again, proactive on it instead of just reactive. And I think that's one of the things that one of my girls that when I was talking to them kind of about this, that they said that they kind of stuck out to them was they felt like after doing some of the visualization stuff and kind of like once it kind of clicked, they said they felt like when their teammates maybe messed up in a game, they found themselves gravitating towards them more to build them up and to pick them up, as opposed to in the past, they felt like there was more of a little separation of like
give them their space.
Oh man, you kind of let me down there. Right. Like I need a moment to like get over your mistake. And instead they found themselves like gravitating towards the person who had just erred or whatever it was to kind of pick them up and get them back into what they would call into the game and what we would call get them back green, you know? And it was cool to see. It was like just this thing that evolved in the midst of some hardship for our team that you can just look at from a lead 'em up standpoint and be like, man, like you said, they ran from red there, man. That was such a green play. Right. And they were doing all of the lead 'em up stuff without the titles and the identifiers of that. And I think that's the cool thing that I'm excited to, now that I've done it in the classroom, of beginning to turn that over onto our team as well, that I think is going to be a game changer for us, whether we're going to the lead eight or we're just a 500 level team.
Yeah. And this past year, Coach, you had a great year. You made it to the lead eight. I believe you had the most wins in program history, right? Yep. This year. So you're in, this is really your, I feel like every coach is having to deal with this. Yes. You were brought on before COVID, right before COVID for this particular team, but this has really been your first real year with a postseason and things like that at Carterville. And you obviously have done a great job over there. And, you know, you just dropped some incredible wisdom throughout this entire episode. Specifically, I love the little point you just made there a moment ago about players now kind of gravitating to the player in the midst of a quote unquote loss, right? Whereas it used to be they would distant or separate. And sometimes to leave them on their own, to kind of let them process their mistake, but then also, which I love, almost to kind of like process the mistake the person just made in their own head, like as if they did it to them. Like it's this weird dynamic. I know exactly what you're talking about there. Well, Coach, I appreciate this. And coaches listening, I really hope on behalf of both Coach and I that today's episode was helpful. Right, that it maybe challenged you in some way to kind of view things or maybe approach some conversations that you otherwise haven't approached, or even simply increase the intentionality on conversations you may have had in the past, but to be more focused. You know, as I mentioned earlier, when I have the conversation with my teams, it's about the commit. That's what we always build around. Every coach is going to have different ways to verbalize it. We talk about the green, but it's really about this commit. When we lose, when bad things happen, we commit. We lean in. We increase our intentionality. We lean into the values we have. We lean into the processes we know. We lean into the details of our game and the nuances. We commit even greater. That's how we respond, right? And for you, you know, you have to make it your own language. But, you know, hopefully today's episode helped. Coach, thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate just you. And I've enjoyed getting to know you and following your program. And you're a coach like many that love their players, that absolutely are committed and passionate about building up young people, developing them into leaders. And it reminds us with the success you had that doing it that way can produce the results. Okay. It produces results. So Coach, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Adam. I love what you guys are doing, and I can see it having an impact on kids in our school, and excited to get more kids involved, and yeah, just lead them up, man. If you can do it, because it's a game changer for your program.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate that. Well, on behalf of our entire team, appreciate you listening. Have fun and lead them up.
Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.